this is the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Excuse me. The eunuch was leaving Jerusalem and his pilgrimage journey, heading back home for the land where he had come from, Ethiopia. It had been a long journey, and on his way back, he told the chariot driver to take the wilderness road. The road from Jerusalem to Gaza is not necessarily the wilderness road. There's many choices. Like when you take any sort of trip, you can go down the interstate, or you can take the back roads. You can go the quick way, or you can meander. You can get there as quick as you can, or like Jane Bishop always likes to say, you can take 6 hours to get just someplace a couple hours away. You gotta stop along the way. And for whatever reason, the eunuch said, let's take the wilderness road, the desert road. Not the wide, straight road that was well-traveled, but the meandering road, the narrow road that was empty, the few people traveled on. Maybe after being in Jerusalem, he was ready for a little solitude. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem because he was a man of faith, a person of deep and profound faith. A person who would travel long distances for the sake of that faith on this pilgrimage, going to the center of his faith at the Jerusalem temple to experience the place where God was said to be fully present. And though he takes this long journey, though he has a great and profound faith, though he is materially very wealthy, and has high status, being a court official in the court of the queen, being an official having power over many people and many things. He arrives at the Jerusalem temple and does not find his spiritual hunger satisfied. He remains hungry. Because at the temple, according to the laws and the precepts laid out in books like Deuteronomy and Leviticus, because this man was a eunuch, he had been castrated, he was not allowed into the temple proper. Even though he had traveled so far to see this holy place, he still couldn't see it. He wasn't allowed. He had to witness it on the margins. And perhaps in that time of worship and being present in this holy space, but finding that even after traveling so long to be with the people with whom he shared his deepest held beliefs, he still found that he didn't belong. He was still the eunuch. And now he was a foreigner as well. He was one that didn't quite fit in. I can only imagine the dissatisfaction. Have you been in situations where you've had to be around a social situation out on the margins? Where there was a group of people maybe that you wanted to be in with, but you just felt like you didn't quite belong? A clique that you wanted to interact with, but never quite offered the invitation or the welcome? Have you ever been on a wilderness road? A road that takes you far from where you wanted to go. This whole journey, this whole pilgrimage was a wilderness road for the eunuch. It took him out into unexpected places. And it gave him a lot of time to think, as the wilderness often does. And thinking and wondering, the eunuch is dwelling on these words of Isaiah. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. He knows these experiences now. Humiliation, justice denied, life taken away. He knows what it means to feel so hungry and so forgotten, so cut off from the community. But the word that he was seeking on this trip, on this pilgrimage journey, the word that he was yearning to hear from God, that word, "You belong," it was coming. But it just wasn't coming in the way he expected. That word of God was coming to him. It was coming especially for him in the person of Philip. Philip, who the angel of the Lord spoke to specifically. "I want you to go out to this wilderness place. This place way out where there's nobody else around. And you're going to see someone there. One person. That's it. Just one person. And they're going to think they don't belong. And the message that I have for you, Philip, is that you are to speak my word to them and you are to tell them that they are loved. You are to tell them that they belong. You are to explain to them the good news of Christ that is for them alone and for the entire world as well." But if he doesn't know it personally, if this one man feels cut off, well, then my word would not be for the entire world. It would be for only a select few, and my word is not for a select few. So I need you, Philip, to go and to share that word with him. The eunuch had thought that God's word wasn't quite meant for him, that he wasn't part of the in club to hear that word. And yet God's word comes to him. And the word that Philip speaks to the eunuch helps him to see that word had been there all along. That as his eyes are opened and the baptismal waters splash around him, there is a truth that is uncovered. That this child of God, who was formed in his mother's womb by God, with the breath of life breathed into his lungs, was breathed by God. That word of God had never left him, but it abides in him. And in his baptism, he sees that more clearly. The word of God has such great power. The word of God, Jesus says, is that which cleanses us, that which prunes us away, so that we can see what is true, so that we can bear great fruit. Without that word, we can do nothing, Jesus says. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can do anything and everything. It's because this word is that same creative and powerful word that God spoke at the beginning of creation. That word, let it be. When God spoke into the empty void, and suddenly there was light, and suddenly there were stars, and suddenly there were rocks and trees and daffodils and dandelions and robins and people. The word that God spoke at creation, sometimes we're led to think that it was a once and done word. That God speaks and then wanders off to go do other things. But the truth of this word, this creative word, is that God is speaking still. And that this garden of creation that God speaks into being is not one that is abandoned, but is one that is well tended by an ever-present gardener, attentive to the needs and the desires of our hearts. This word of God that God speaks is a powerful word. It's a word so powerful that if God were to cease speaking it in 3 seconds, then 1, 2, 3, you would cease to be. That we are nothing without God's ever-present and speaking word, which speaks into you. That you are nothing without that word of God that speaks you into being and speaks your dreams into life. And speaks to the yearning of your heart. And if we are nothing without God's word, then with God's word, which we have because we are something, with God's word, then we can also be God's very presence to one another. That God is present in the word, and God's word is in us, and so God's presence is in us and through us and enables us to be God's presence to one another. And this was Philip's job that day, to go down to that wilderness road, to wait there for one who was coming, who needed to know that God was present just for him, and to speak that word of presence to him, to be God's presence himself to him, to be so clear and open to God working through him that the eunuch could feel God and God's love for him. This is the abiding work of love that we are called to. But it's work that we have a tough time truly enjoying. It's work that is hard to fully grasp. Because we don't spend most of our lives on the wilderness roads. Most of the time, we're on the main road. We're on the main road full of busyness and people and worries and stress. On the main road where everything gets overcrowded and everything else in our lives just imposes itself upon our hearts and our minds, directing us away from who we truly are and what we truly yearn for. Everything else in life imposes itself, but the love of God never imposes itself. Because love is not an imposition. Love is an offering. Love abides. And so, sometimes you need to take that wilderness road to let the worries and the impositions of life melt away a bit, fade into the background a bit, get some time to think. And to feel, again, the abiding love of God. Abide in that word of love. Abide in that word of God today. Abide in that word so that you can know that God's word of love is for you. That you cannot be cut off from that word. That it has abided in you and will abide in you and is abiding in you now. If only you have the ears to hear it. But as you open yourself up to that word, as you let that offering of love abide in your heart, and you abide in it, then take that opportunity to be that abiding word of love for another. We all know people in our lives who need that word, who feel like they're forgotten, who feel left out, who exist on the margins, whether by the circumstances of their life or the cruel realities of the prejudices of our world, we live in a world where everybody does not feel like they belong. But in this word, we have the good news that you do. Let us abide in that word and share that word and be that word. Amen.